This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It is not news until Tom Withers from the Associated Press says so, and he is now standing by on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hi, Tom. How are you?
No news at the moment, but it is Cleveland, and it's still early, so we'll have something here soon.
Oh, no. Don't say that, Tom. Don't say that, buddy.
No, there's always news. There's always something percolating. You guys know what I mean. I mean, we're probably going to get – I think we're going to get something from the Browns today. Obviously, we're all hoping that Kevin Johnson is doing okay, still in the hospital, so I'm expecting an update from the team at some point about him. Also, they're working out linebacker Malcolm Smith, and who knows, we could have a signing there. At some point, too, I would think we're going to learn some kind of a timetable on Mac Wilson. I'd still like to know how J.C. Treader got hurt. We've had a couple of guys coming in and out. Jack Conklin was suddenly not on the field yesterday, much to our surprise, and then we were told that it was a scheduled rest day, so not sure what's going on there. So the Browns are off, but I get the feeling that the Browns will have something to say later today.
By the way, Tom, thanks for we listen to every press conference live here, and you ask some of the best questions. And, you know, like just even yesterday when you followed up to try to figure out how the laceration happened, I was like, how did that happen? I was like, oh, great question. So,
well, thanks. It's been interesting. I've almost felt kind of bad for Kevin Stefanski here over the first week. I mean, my gosh, they've been dropping starters by the day out there. You know, some unlucky ones, some self-inflicted ones, obviously, with the Chubb concussion situation. So you've got a rookie head coach who's dealing with a lot, to say the least, given the pandemic and the condensed camp and what have you. And now you get, you know, some major injuries thrown in. I mean, when you think about the fact that right now they've got two rookies on the starting offensive line, that's that is not exactly an ideal situation to be opening your season with in Baltimore. And I think Coach Stefanski to this point is kind of still learning the ropes a little bit, and he is. You know, rather than coming out, as you guys hear on the press conferences, he's not coming out right away and saying, okay, here's who's not practicing, here's who's hurt, here's a status update, et cetera. So then that falls upon us then to ask all of those questions during the course of it. So we're all just kind of figuring each other out on both sides of the equation right now.
Tom, you've probably covered 600 coaches for the Browns at this point.
Oh, so do you think it feels that way, yeah.
Come on, it's only 548.
Yeah. Is this the right way to handle it? If you're, because we're listening to him and we're waiting for a nugget, and sometimes it doesn't come out. Like, we're waiting. We're like, okay, are you going to give us something, a little bit?
If I was advising him, Andy, that's a great question. Yeah. If I was advising Coach, I would have him, you know, kind of get it out of the way right away. Okay, here are the guys that are not going to be practicing today. You know, it's we're really sorry about Mac Wilson. You know, we're hoping to have him back as soon as we can and give whatever information you can. So, you know, he's choosing to do it the way he wants to do it, and that's perfectly fine. I think what's frustrating for us, especially in the media now, given the shortened time window we have to talk to people, the fact that we can't talk to anybody in person, that everything right. is done over in Zoom, you know, we'd like to ask some meatier questions during that 10-minute window rather than, you know, trying to find out, you know, whether it's J.C. Treader's right knee or left knee. So, right. You know, again, there's no perfect way. We're all kind of learning as we go here. We're just a week into camp. I did like the fact, though, that he was very open yesterday about what happened to Kevin Johnson. And, you know, what an unfortunate situation. I happened to be watching that play, guys. And when he went down in the back of the end zone, it did take him a second or two to kind of catch his breath and get up. And I was like, oh, okay, he's fine. And then, you know, as I mentioned to Coach Stefanski yesterday, you kind of gasp when you hear something like a lacerated liver. I mean, that's a very, very serious, potentially a fatal condition if not treated properly and quickly. So, you know, wish him nothing but the best. I felt bad, too, because we had just had him on the Zoom earlier this week, and he's had a – you guys, have, I don't know if you followed his career or not. He's had a really rough go. Broke his foot as a rookie, re-broke it the next year, had an MCL the next year. Dealt with concussion, so, you know, I wish the kid nothing but good health.
Tom, you've had an eye on a little bit on the offense and that stuff. Does it seem like the offense is beginning to click a tiny bit, or are they still doing installs and it looks a little disjointed?
Yeah, it's a little raggedy right now, and that's been a big talking point this week, Dan. You know, it's been brought up with, you know, Case Keenum kind of took a little bit of issue with it when it was brought up that the defense looks way ahead of the offense. You know, he said something to the effect of, you know, who's keeping score here? Well, you know, we're watching it, and what Coach Stefanski pointed out this week was that, and this is a little bit like baseball, Andy, as you can appreciate this, how, you know, pitchers tend to maybe just work on a particular pitch in an exhibition game, and if they give up some hits, you know, so be it. They just want to see what they've got. I think it's a little bit of what's going on with the Browns right now. They're trying to install a new offense. They're not necessarily scheming for that moment in camp. And then, you know, you got defensive guys who are just able to react and read the ball and fly around. And that's why they seem to be, you know, a little bit out ahead. I think there was some better plays yesterday out of the offense. Baker had a long connection with Odell Beckham, which was good. He is definitely developing some chemistry with Austin Hooper. I think people should be excited about that. And, you know, not having Nick Chubb out there is obviously an issue. And not having, you know, yesterday three starters on the offensive line were not out there. So it's been hard to really gauge exactly what they've got only because of all the missing pieces right now, Dan.
Tom, let me flip gears on you. I when we knew we booked you, I had to ask you about this. What do you think about the Big Ten right now? I'm just switching over to college football. What's going to happen here? And could this – I mean, is the Big Ten walking on thin ice? Could Warren be out of a job here if these teams decide to play, if they have a little five, and they can figure this out pretty quick on when they can start a schedule?
I don't know where this is going, Andy, to be honest with you. And I heard some groundswell just from some people I talked to over the last couple of days about the potential of this Winter League, which I found fascinating, where they could potentially use some of the indoor sites in the Big Ten. I'm talking about – Indianapolis and Minneapolis and where else am I thinking in the Big Ten? Detroit, where they could have almost small bubbles in play. They were talking about even weekend doubleheaders to be able to have a Winter League. You know, it's still very fluid, Andy. I mean, unfortunately for the Big Ten, they didn't do a good job of explaining their position out of the gate, not nearly as well as the Pac-12 did. I'm still of the mind that, and I'm hoping that the other three Power Five conferences are able to push forward. I just still worry with all the kids going back to campuses, and we saw that this week at North Carolina and Notre Dame, that you're going to run into situations where you're going to have outbreaks. And then when you have a big one of an outbreak on a team, then what do you do? So, listen, it was an incredibly tough call for the Big Ten to make right now. I still think there's a potential for either a winter season or a spring season. I think that's part of what you saw Ryan Day doing last week, was that he was trying to, you know, in some ways, maybe the message was pointed directly at Justin Fields, like, hey, we can play this spring season. Why don't you hang around? So still a lot of moving pieces. And, you know, Kevin Warren probably didn't handle it as well as he could have. I don't think people gave him a lot of wiggle room either. It's a very tough decision. He's also going on the recommendation of medical experts and the university president. So, you know, he's in a tough spot there as well.
Tom, just quickly, just following up on that, where they, if they played in a winter league, the cities you mentioned it all have NFL dome stadiums.
Yeah, they would
and
have
part
to,
of that deal is
they
the
would
contract,
have to either do it
right?
on Saturdays or stagger it somehow. So it's just one of the many things, Andy, that's being thrown out there. We've heard just about every single plan that's been possible over the last couple of weeks. So I thought it was also interesting just the groundswell of support you got from some of the Big Ten parents, and then what Justin Fields did in trying to get the petition going. So, this thing is literally an hour-by-hour process. I never did think for a moment that the Big Ten would reverse field. I think when you make a decision as big and as impactful across the board, and particularly financially, when you make a decision like that, I don't think you reverse course. I think you try to, as I've said for several months now, you let 2020 go to salvage 2021.
The biggest question that comes out of this, Tom, is so then they decide to do this winter football thing. That you have to then have winter field hockey and winter soccer and winter all of this other stuff, because if you're coming back and saying, all right, football only in the winter, well, then amateurism is out the window and nobody can deal with. And that's a giant can of worms that we know the NCAA does not want to open.
No, you're right about that, Dan. I mean, you know, listen, the reason we're in the position we're in as a country, I mean, is because of our behaviors over the months in the spring and the summer, right? So that's what impacted the fall. So you hope now that everybody is going to change their behavior to a degree, that we get better testing, and that we're able to have the winter sports. Because I could never have imagined, guys, back in April, that we'd be in this situation right now, right? I mean, I thought we would, by the end of the summer, we would either have a handle on this or have a better handle on testing, and we're just not there yet in the U.S. And it's really unfortunate, and unfortunately, these student-athletes are paying the price.
All right, Tom, I got to ask you NBA draft, just because that took place last night. See, this is the nice thing of having you on, is I feel like we could just kind of like go into all these different compartments of your brain and just pick it. So,
Tom, I think we're going to do a wheel of withers, and what we're going to do is on the wheel of withers.
Any sport?
Yeah, and we're going to spin the wheel, and then you're going to have to talk about that subject. How's that
sound? Sounds like a Cedar Point amusement sideshow, doesn't it?
Yeah, and you could still win the same amount of stuff that Steve Martin explains in The Jerk, so it'd be good.
Come on in.
All right, go ahead.
Crap. Anyway. All right, so the NBA draft takes place last night. Cavs end up with fifth. What do you think?
Stay out of the lottery. That's what I said last night. I mean, I can't get over everybody kind of hand-wringing and grumbling over, you know, we got the number five pick. Well, you got the number five pick for a reason, because you didn't win enough games last year. So, you know, deal with it. When you're starting to mortgage your future on lotteries and ping pong balls, that's not a good thing. So, listen, the Cavs got lucky three times, right, in winning that thing. So, kind of the odds are against you of winning it again. So, you know, I don't like the idea though that you know, four teams all had, you know, even if you have the worst record in the league, then your chances of winning it are no better than three or four other teams. I'm not crazy about the way the NBA went back to that. All that said, the number five pick, and I put a list of those guys out last night, there have been some great number five picks in NBA history. So just because you're picking five, make sure you pick the right guy at five, right? Or if you're picking at one, make sure you take a LeBron James at one and not an Anthony Bennett at one. So, again, stay out of the lottery. If you're bummed out about what happened to the Cavs last night, well, win some games, get in the playoffs, be a better team.
All right, I spun the wheel and it landed on Indians. Just so you know that. Okay, so here's my Indians. Is this real, Tom? If they average what the league averaged in runs, and I'm talking about the whole entire league, just looking at the numbers last night, they'd only be 23-2 in those games that they lost, in the nine games that they lost. That's how good the pitching's been. It's amazing.
It has been amazing, and I know you guys are probably have been discussing the Clevenger Police Act situation, and I have come around on that a little bit. And again, we don't know. None of us were in that meeting other than the players last week in Detroit. We don't really know how heated it got. We don't know how big the divide is between Mike and Zach and the rest of the guys on the team, right? So you would have to hope that this 10 days for them in Lake County is going to, make them realize their mistake. Clearly, their teammates didn't hear what they wanted to hear a week ago. You hope that has changed. I'm of the mind that they should hang on to those guys in this condensed season. I know it's important for the team to get another bat, but I do see some good moments in that offense now starting to take place. I think your top four guys are starting to get themselves much better settled. We've seen Reyes coming around. Santana's had a couple of good at-bats. Naquin is back in the lineup. I think that lineup is still good enough and should be able to score more. Now, the pitching has been fabulous, and I think I would hold on to all the pitching that I have right now, particularly in this 60-game season. I think it's just too valuable, and I think if there's a divide between those guys and the rest of their teammates, well, you know, you may just have to to bite down hard on your lip and get through the rest of this year and then think about moving them in the offseason. But for the time being, I think I would try to patch that up as best I could and go forward with those two guys on the roster.
Tom Withers joining us on the Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Of course, this baseball update is brought to you by WOW, super fast internet. All right, Tom, we're 9 days away from the trade deadline. Will there be silence or will there be movement?
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of it's going to hinge on what happens next Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday when the Twins come into town. I think a lot of it hinges on, you know, how they get out of this weekend. I mean, the Tigers are coming in, so they should be able to feast on them. And, you know, no reason why you shouldn't be able to run that winning streak to 9 games. And then, you know, you got the first-place Twins, or who knows at that point, they could be tied. And get through the early part of next week. You know, Clevinger and Plesac are coming back around in the rotation. I believe their probationary period, or whatever you want to call that, 10 days out in Lake County, is going to end, I believe, on Monday. So we're kind of reaching a critical point with their relationship and with this season and whatever you want to do as far as a trade. I think it's going to be, again, I think it's going to be hard to get what you want in return unless you have, as I said before, an unworkable situation where you know you have to get rid of those guys. You know, it's the Indians. They're probably going to make some kind of a deal, but at this point, I'm not expecting anything major.
All right, last question, Tom. How's Tito? How is he?
I don't know. I know the team was hoping to have him back today. I'm not so sure that that's going to happen. You know, I feel really bad for Tito. You know, he's been dealing with this for the better part of a year now, and I just wish him the best. You know, I think, you know, those of us that have been around him and have gotten to know him a little bit, you know, he's a terrific guy, and you can see why players love playing for him so much. He's got a great way with people, and you know, that's a big component in this situation with Plesac and Clevinger as well. I mean, I think they kind of need Tito around to broker that. And let's be honest, and I know people, you know, sometimes coaches and managers can be overvalued, but I think in the case of Terry Francona, you know, they are such a much better team when he's around them. And I think that's also partly true, too, because Brad Mills hasn't been around this year either. And he's a very valuable part of this team that people that are, you know, are not behind the scenes and seeing some of the things that we're able to see as media members, or at least what we used to be able to see and are privy to, you know, understand the dynamic and how important that player coach and player manager relationship can be. So I hope Tito's doing better. I know this has been tough on him. I know he misses the game terribly when he's not around. And I do know also that he's always texting away in the middle of the games to making sure that those guys are doing what he wants them to do.
I have visions of Tito hanging onto the bar in front of the dugout and guys pulling, you know, saying, hey, you can't be here tonight. We need you to get healthy. And him saying, no, and just hanging out of the bar and having
guys
pulled by the
feet. Yeah, he's been grinding through a lot of this. It's been very uncomfortable for him, Andy. And, you know, I think the good thing for Indians fans to keep in mind is that if at some point he does have to step down, there's a great succession plan in place. I mean, in Sandy Alomar, you've got a guy who is clearly ready to manage, you know, who had been looked at as a manager, you know, years ago. I remember the Mets bringing him in for interviews. He's talked to some other people. You know, he means a lot to this organization for a lot of reasons. So, I mean, talk about a perfect fit and a great guy. If you have to turn the reins over, you know, he's a nice one to have in mind.
Yeah, let's be honest. I mean, he's been ready for years. He's been ready for probably 5 or 6 years to be a manager.
I think he's been ready his whole life for it, to be honest with you. He's just true. That kind of guy.
All right, Tom, thank you so much.
Thanks,
we
brother.
Always appreciate your time. We could talk to you for a whole hour. Thanks, Tom.
Anytime, boys. Talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon.
Tom Withers from the Associated Press, nice enough to meet us or talk to us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Right, my friend?
Of course.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.